Hi there. This is Fish and Frank, and we're back with another edition of Radio Fishing. And it's kind of an update on what we did a little earlier with Austin. And we've got Captain Billy Barton here. We got his younger brother, Matt. And, of course, we have Austin here in the studio. And they are the winners of the Trout Scramble, which was held this last Saturday. And they won the Trout Scramble. And everybody's just excited about it. Hey, Billy.
How you doing, Frank?
Austin, you're back.
Yep.
And Matt.
What's up, Frank?
Okay. And okay, guys, everybody settle down. Our studio audience gets so excited. You know, it's just hard to keep them all under control here. All right, studio audience, go away. Okay, there you go.
Big crowd for a small shop.
Yeah, well, you know, they're a little stone-faced over here, you know, in our studio audience section, you know, but they're okay people. So you guys, what was the tournament?
It was a great tournament, Frank. You know, it's a tournament unlike any tournament I've seen in the area in my whole life. I was born and raised here, never seen anything like it. And it was a great tournament for a great cause, if you ask me.
Okay. So what was it?
It was the Feed the Hungry, they call it the Feed the Hungry Trout Tournament. And basically, all the proceeds, you know, went to the Salvation Army, and they went to help feed all the fish fillets. At the end of the tournament, all went to Feed the Hungry as well, and we had a canned food drive as well. So it was, you know, an all around great.
So the Trout Scramble.
Yes, sir.
Okay, so that was trying to get waterlight trout scramble.
Trout scramble.
All right. Mm-hmm. So tell us a little bit about the tournament, and then we'll get to these guys. What happened? You guys had to show up at the dock, and what went on?
We had to show up at the dock. Basically, the way it went was, you know, most tournaments, everybody kind of leaves around the same time period and has to be back real quick, you know. The way it went was they gave you two chips. When you left the actual dock, they wrote your time that you left down on one chip, and then they took your first chip from you. And then when you got back to the dock, they gave you another chip, or you give them your second chip, and they wrote down the time that you got back. So the goal was the fastest team that could, the team that could catch two limits of trout the fastest.
So eight trout.
Yes, sir.
You get to leave the dock, and whoever did it the quickest and came back, that was the winner. If you had eight legal trout and the shortest amount of time it took you to do it.
Yes, sir.
Okay, so kind of like rally car racing, where this is what you get. You got this amount of time. The one who gets the best time wins.
Yes, sir.
All right. So you got you looked around in the field of guys and people and stuff, and you decided on Matt and Austin. So what was the thinking on this?
Both of them, I fish with them both on my days off, you know, when I'm not fishing other people. I still go fishing most of the time if I'm not working on the boat.
So I guess we should say that you're a charter boat captain.
Yes, sir.
You go fishing, take people out on charter boat trips, and you do some stuff out in the Gulf and in the harbor.
Yes, sir. So, you know, it kind of gave me a little bit of an advantage being on the water 6-7 days a week on knowing where these fish were in abundance. And picking Austin and Matthew, you know, they're my fishing buddies, and I'm on the boat with them. Well, one's my brother, and the other is, like, basically my little brother.
Okay, so, Matt, what was it like that day?
Oh, it was incredible, man. We had a great time. We went out. We got our two limits of trout in about 61 minutes, I think.
61
Well, that
minutes.
Was total time. Total. It only took you, what, about a little over half an hour to catch your actual limit to trout?
Yeah, about 30 minutes.
So, yeah. That's not bad. Now, let's see. Austin, what did you say you were using?
I was throwing the natural 3.
Okay. Yep. No, that was what he said. What was Austin actually using?
Yeah, he's right.
Right, man. They're trained, Frank. They're not.
They're not gonna say.
They're trained. You can just disregard Austin's last radio show.
So Austin was lying, huh? Busted, Austin.
It's a fish story. It's not a lie. It's a fish story.
Now, was the lure correct?
The lure was pretty close. Yes, the same lure. It was, and that color is working actually right now. Natural is a good color to be throwing right now. But we were actually all throwing three different colors. Okay. He was throwing natural.
And what color were you throwing?
I like, there's a new one now. It's called the Pink Prawn.
Right.
It's a light pink color. Pink is a good wintertime color.
Now, was it the shrimp?
Yes, sir, in the 3-inch variety.
And what jig head were you using?
We were using the Gold Mission Fishing 8-ounce jig heads.
Okay.
And those are jig heads that I push a lot of people to when I'm in here in the shop. They're right. They're all of our favorite jig heads, you know.
Well, the Tease Tackle or the Mission Fishing, they're kind of the same. All you can do is pick color. One has colors, the other one doesn't. And yep. So you can, they're kind of interchangeable, pretty much the same thing.
Yep.
So, Matt, what were you using?
Same thing that they were.
No, he just said you were all using different colors.
Oh, different colors, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, you were nuclear.
Nuclear chicken.
Yeah.
All right, so he had nuclear chicken, you had the pink prawn, and Austin had the natural.
Mm-hmm.
What was the ratio? Were they doing a lot better than the other ones? Was there a clear winner, or all doing pretty good?
Well, I'll tell you what. I think, you know, we might have caught 15, 20 undersized trout, guys. What do you think?
At least.
Yeah.
And 15 to 20 undersized. We were catching them the whole time we were fishing. But I will say Matthew, I think, caught a lot more ladyfish than we did.
Yeah, I definitely did.
You know? So Matthew was hooking a lot of ladyfish and kind of getting them out of me and Austin's way. So that, you know, he was.
Well, somebody's got to clear the road. I mean, you know, if you ever lived up north, you'd know somebody's got to plow the road for everybody else to get through.
Yes.
So you were plowing the road here, huh?
I guess, yeah.
That nuclear chicken was whacking the ladyfish. I think that brighter color because it's got that bright green, bright orange.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So that would really do it. What color jig head is your?
I was using gold.
So you and Billy were both with the gold there.
Yeah.
Yeah. That, but that's a great color for activity. I mean, because a lot of fish see it and they really key in on those colors darting through the water. What was your retrieves like? Were you guys fishing open water or up against the mangroves?
We were fishing open water, sir. This time of year, you know, you really got to play your fronts. If the tide was going to, we had high tide for that day. So the fish were spread out a little bit more than they would have been in a lower tide scenario. They weren't all in one giant hole together. They were more on the marbly type of bottom in about 2 to 3 foot and a slow and low retrieve. You know, I always say low and slow is shrimp. I think it was you told me one day, or it might have been Angel, that whenever you're fishing a shrimp jig in the wintertime, when you think you're fishing it slow enough, you're not. Always fish it even slower.
Now, were you bouncing them, lifting the rod, bouncing them, hitting the bottom, lifting the rod, bouncing them, hitting the bottom?
Yes, sir. We were working them right off of the bottom.
Or were you just coming right over the grass with them?
Slow bounces, just as slow. As soon as they get down near the bottom, one more bounce, and then they were always hitting them on the drop when they were getting down near the bottom.
That's the tough part. That's the tough part, because right as you get in the slack in the line is exactly when they want to hit it.
Mm-hmm.
So you don't really feel it till you go to do your next jig. Yeah.
Uh-huh.
And so every time you bounce the rod or jig the rod, you got to be prepared to set the hook.
Sir, we did, and we pre-thought about this. This was premeditated, because normally I fish 7.5-foot rods, you know, is what I like. But normally I fish 8 to 17-pound class rods on the boat, with like 4,000 reels, you know, 4,000 size pen reels, and 15-pound braid. But we lightened up our gear. We were using lighter rods, 6 to 12s or 8 to 14-pound class rods, and we lightened up to 10-pound braid. And it made it easier to feel those fish, you know. You could feel them on the drop, even with slack. You could feel that
whack
thump.
Yeah.
That one little thump every time, and then as soon as you feel that thump, boom, just set the hook. Don't keep retrieving, just set the hook. You know.
So how was it, Matt? Did you get the feel for it pretty quick? Or
oh yeah, man. We're trout masters. We learn from the best.
These guys, they're trout fishing son of a gun.
Okay, so Austin, you know, you got Matt here. How was it, you know, you guys on the boat? Who was you guys like drifting while you're catching these fish?
Sir, I probably covered about 50 yards, maybe 100 yards the whole time when we were really into them. When I finally found the right size fish, I moved four times over a stretch of specific potholes, and we were pretty close to the actual takeoff, in all honesty. That's all I'm going to say.
It's okay. It's better than Austin. You know, Austin's following the elephant, shoveling it out right there. Work is good.
That's what I told him. Anywhere but where we were. But anyhow, you know, we might have only covered 50 yards and moved four times on the trolling motor. I knew the fish were there and spread out a little bit. Our first little patch of fish was all little 14 inches or so. And I said, guys, these are too small. Let's move. And there was a few ladyfish mixed in. Then it was more 14 inchers, more 14 inchers. Our fourth stop, I hooked one, or we broke, one of us broke one off. Matt threw a wind knot. And on his cast, he hooked a good one, and it broke off. That fish broke off.
Wow, it's nice. It's a nice fish, yeah.
Yeah, on 10-pound braid, though. So, you know, sometimes the wind knots pop.
Yeah.
But Matt broke that fish off, and I threw a cast, and I caught one, and I got him. I just whipped him in, or Austin netted him, and we got him in the cooler, and then I got another one. So I caught the first two keepers and got him in the box real quick, and Austin threw the power pole down, and that's when we were on him. And it was within 15 minutes we were on him, and I would say we had our eight fish within about 5 to 10 minutes.
And trying to find that took another little while to find that bigger fish, and
they group by size, sir. You know, yep. That it goes right down to it. I mean, the 14 inchers were together, and then the 16 to 18. Do you guys agree?
Yes, oh, yeah, for sure.
So
these guys, Austin, I think, you know, Austin got quite a few good keepers. He got three real nice ones.
I didn't catch a lot, but the ones I did catch were keepers.
So, well, that works. I mean, I'd rather catch three I could keep than 20 I can't.
Yeah,
you know, that actually worked. So, how did you do, Matt? What was your?
I got the 14 inches out of the way, basically.
And the ladyfish.
I got my keeper at the last minute.
He got the eighth keeper. When we needed it the most, though, Matt got his one good keeper, and it was at the last second. So, and. It was cool. It was really neat.
But that's, you know, that's why you got that guy in the back. Okay, the pinch hitter, he comes out, whacks one over the park, and, you know, mm-hmm. win the game on that.
Yep. It was cool. It really was.
You guys sound like you had a pretty good time. How was it, you know, standing in front of the crowd, you know, getting up there, you know, being on stage with that?
It was a great time. I mean, great being on stage, especially when you won.
Well, I guess winning, if you had gotten on stage as the loser, it probably wouldn't have been quite as much fun.
No.
No. So, yeah, I get that. So, Matt, what's your favorite fish to go fishing for?
Redfish.
You're a redfish guy. That's your number one. Austin, yep. What's yours?
Redfish all the way.
All right. And now, Billy, what you got?
Do I even have to say?
Redfish. Okay. So, all right, let's go back around one more time. Live bait or lures, Matt?
Lures.
Lures. Austin?
I like to switch it up a little bit. I like the surprise on the artificial, but live bait's great just sitting soaking. I like them both a lot.
Yeah, you're kind of like me. It depends on my mood, how I work it out. Billy, what's yours?
I can say the same. You know, there's some days when you feel like just going out and throwing artificial, and there's some days where you just kind of want to relax a little bit more and not have to work as hard. And
that's the perfect answer, because, you know, that's the way I do it. If I feel like it, I'm going to throw lures and kind of get involved in the whole thing. And sometimes I just want to relax and let the world go away and let a piece of bait soak.
Mm-hmm. That's what it's all about.
All right. But everybody throw lure. Matt, favorite lure?
Berkeley Gulp. Good for everything. Shrimp. Okay.
So
New Penny.
You like the New Penny Gulp, yes. Shrimp. That's your key go-to, right?
Yes, sir.
Shrimp, jerk bait.
Shrimp.
3-inch, 4-inch?
3-inch.
And so, favorite jig head?
I like chartreuse or gold 1/8 ounce.
So, chartreuse is a little more versatile. It covers a little more different water colors, but that gold, it really has a thing when the water's a little brown.
Yeah.
And it reflects in the sun nice. You know, when if the sun's out, you get the, you know,
that little glint. Yeah. Okay. Go ahead.
Plus, the redfish like gold, you know?
There you go. Like okay, so we're actually going to go with the 3-inch New Penny shrimp gulp with the gold jig head. That's your number one.
Yep.
Okay. Austin, what's your number one?
I'm the same with Matt on there. I mean, we both had the same teacher and both use the same things. Now, me and Matt, always together. I like the 3-inch New Penny with gold or chartreuse jig head on it myself, too.
But you picked the natural that day, and you picked the nuclear chicken.
The natural I like for just my trout in particular. The New Penny is going to be more of an all-around color for everything.
All right, Matt. Yep.
Well, that day, Billy just said that pick vibrant colors for trout, and that's what I went with.
Okay, so different lures for specific purpose, but your all-arounders, you guys are going to stay in the same one. Okay?
Yeah.
Exactly.
And Billy, you got to have a favorite somewhere.
Originally, when Berkeley Gulp, before Berkeley Gulp, I was a gold spoon guy, you know, because redfish love gold spoons. Charlotte Harbor, born and raised, that's number one all around. Can you?
You and my dad. That's my dad. He just throws miles and miles and miles on those spoons.
I've talked to him about them. And then Berkeley Gulp came out. I love the 3-inch New Penny shrimp in the harbor, specifically, in this darker water. You know, that tannic water, and it's got the gold flake to it too. So the redfish just jump on it in this dark water.
So, actually, you guys are all on kind of the same page. But, you like those gold jig heads with the New Penny shrimp. If you only had one lure to fish the next month with, that would probably be the one, right?
Anything gold. If they're eating live bait, then I'd go with the jerk shad and the 5-inch. If they were, you know, on a crustacean bite, like it's the winter time now, you know, it depends on the time of the year too, you know.
But if you were going to throw it out there, and you know, this is your lure for the next week or 2 weeks, and you had to pick one, you guys are all on the same page.
Same
the gold
page.
With the
yep.
new penny jig.
Yes, sir.
Okay, so well, that, you know, that works out. Just trying to get a feel for what everybody does. We get a lot of different answers. One of the popular ones, you know, you got Storm, you got Rapala, and of course on the top order, you always got the Skitterwalk or the Zaraspook, which Zaraspook is obviously number one. Mm-hmm. But there's always a lot of different things. Gold spoons, that's a staple. I mean, I think you could take a gold spoon, go anywhere in the world and catch a fish with it.
I couldn't agree more.
Freshwater, saltwater, I don't care. You throw that spoon, it's going to, if the fish is there, you got a good shot with it. So, but you know, there is something to be said. Gulp is our number one soft bait. Nothing else even comes close. DOA is I can't say nothing comes close. DOA is a very close second in sales. I mean, we sell thousands of bags of DOA a year.
Mm-hmm. I've been in scenarios where they wouldn't touch a gulp, and these were tarpon, but they would eat the DOAs.
Yeah.
And these are river tarpon, but, you know.
You never know, but I think it's kind of cool. You guys are all on the same page. You could tell your teammates, very close-knit team, ready to go get them. And the nice part about it is if you guys are all using basically the same thing, but different colors. And people don't realize the value of that.
Mm-hmm.
Because if everybody's throwing exactly the same thing, you don't have the option of Matt clearing the trout and the ladyfish out of the way, Austin finding those little bit bigger trout on the natural, and you catching the vast bulk of the trout on...
Yep.
You were using the New Penny, right?
No, sir. I was... What was I thought? The pink prawn.
Oh, the pink prawn. That's right. So you were getting the most trout, and Austin got a few of the bigger ones, and then Matt cleared the way and ended up in that rush. But by having the three different colors of lures, you actually did better than if you guys would have all had the same color.
Yep. I mean, you're right. And you never know. One of those lures could have been the only one catching fish that day. Well, trout are not that picky, I guess. But, you know, there's some days where one of those lures could have been the only one catching the fish. And if only one of us was catching those fish, then we would all switch to that color, you know. And that was kind of the idea, you know, to go in, you know, spread.
You knew the style. You just finding the right color was what you were up against.
Absolutely.
So, yeah, I'm with you. People don't realize the value of pink. I mean, most guys, they don't want to shy away from anything pink, but there's about a month, 2 months in each year, and right now pink is hot, and once it starts to rain again, and once the water gets too clear, pink doesn't do as well. Too dark, too clear, but in this kind
of
murky, yeah, that's it. Milky, murky water, the pink is just rocks. I mean, it outfishes almost anything.
But absolutely.
Once the rains back off and we get it real clear, I'm switching to something else.
I couldn't agree more. I was just laughing, thinking this story in my head. I got a package of pink storms for Christmas as a gag gift from a friend.
Right.
And this was before I ever used anything pink. And we went out New Year's Day to Placida Pier, or to South Gasparilla Boca, and used every single storm in the middle of the day on snook. And they were all nice snook. And, you know, from then on, I fish pink now.
It's perfect. That's it. They thought they were busting your chops. It turns out they turned you on to one of the best colors there is out there.
You're right.
Any thoughts about fishing a tournament?
Man, it was great. Great cause. As Billy said, we all had a great time. To sum it up, best time I've had trout fishing.
I think you guys were some pretty happy campers. I was lucky enough to be there. So, Austin, any last thoughts?
Just what Matt said, really. It's a great cause. I'm happy they threw it all together. I hope they have another one next year. They said everything went real well.
Yeah, it seemed to go pretty good. There was a lot of people showed up, a lot of stuff. They had a great band. They had food there. They had a lot of vendors. Like I say, Robert spent some money at the vendors. I wasn't going to look. I didn't even want to see. I had enough stuff.
I was tempted by a couple things, but I didn't.
So, one last thing. So you guys got rods and reels, and so what you paid in? How was the price? A lot of tournaments, you spend the money, but you don't really get much out of it. How was this one?
We thought it would be really cool to win the rods and reels, but we really didn't care. You know, it was, Austin called me about it, you know, maybe a month ago when it first came out, and he asked me if I wanted to do it, and we just thought it'd be a fun thing to do together as friends, and you know, and for a good cause, so we just did it. You know,
so basically, all in all, it worked out really well, and you're real happy with the tournament, the payouts, the event, and everything all together. Everything went pretty good.
The coordinators did great. I mean, Josh Olive did a great job on it. He really did. And, you know, we had a lot of help here from the shop. Greg was out there. And poor
Greg was on the dock all day. He looked at me and says, "You're not volunteering for me for another one." I said, "Why do you think I volunteered you instead of me? I have stood on that dock for 9 hours waiting for people, when they leave and then they get back. And it's a long, tough day out there."
You know, it went... I think it went, the guy, I was told that there was only 6 boats in by 4 o'clock, though. Nobody really did really good on limiting out, it seemed like. There were a lot of fish brought in. But
I can tell you, guys went out and everything went good, and you had that gold lucky star over your shoulder. Because no matter what it happens, knowing your team ahead of time, getting a game plan, understanding what you need to do, where you need to go, that's a big thing. But tournament day, way better to be lucky than good.
Yes, sir. Because
there was a lot of really good anglers out there that day, and you guys had the magic pill. You guys were, you had your tongue right in the corner, the left-hand corner of your mouth, kind of turned sideways, holding it just right, and,
game faces.
Yeah. I got to tell you. I've been in tournaments, and I've gone from first place. I don't know if I've ever come in last, but I've been way down on the field a couple of times. And sometimes tournament day is just run of luck. Are you having a good one or not? So, and a lot of guys, if they don't get it all, I will say a lot of people brought in a lot of fish. They filleted a lot of fish. There was, I saw pompano, bluefish,
flounder, mackerel, whiting, everything.
Yeah, there was, as well as the trout, and there's going to be a lot of people having really nice dinners, because what people don't understand, Salvation Army is probably the only place, if you're having a real hard time, you can actually go there and they will give you food. They're real good about helping people the correct way. They don't just give them handouts, they give them help. And that's a great thing about Salvation Army. So anyway, as a congratulations, guys. I mean, what more can I say? But congratulations, first place, annual trout scramble, and I gotta say, great thing. And this is Fish and Frank, and we're gonna see you on the next Radio Fishing. And Captain Billy, Matt, Austin, you guys did great. thank you for coming on. The crowd loves you guys. I just can't get them to quiet down. So, like I say, we will see you on the next Radio Fishing.